Well, I feel like the Lord is wanting to do a refresher tonight of calling in the lost. Why we really gathered together for this service, what the original intent was and still is. The purpose is in the title. It's to call in the lost. Go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 9. And this is the premise, the foundation scripture that Dave used in the beginning to set up these services. And we've expanded it somewhat from there to also call in revival. But the original purpose, see, if you've got lost loved ones, I still do, and friends, and some of them don't live close where, you know, they're states away, some in other countries. Well, I can't be witnessing to them myself. We have to learn to pray and trust that God hears and answers our prayers. And we have scripture for that, and that's here in Matthew 9. And we'll start in verse 36. It says, "But when he," that's Jesus, "when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore," now pray you therefore, "the Lord of the harvest," well, what are we going to ask? "That he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And that's Matthew 9. If you look in Matthew 10, the very next thing that happens is he calls the 12 and sends them out into the harvest. A few chapters later, he calls the 70. The Lord of the harvest is doing exactly this. I believe they prayed. When he says, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest," well, and then immediately he does that very thing. He sends the 12 and he sends the 70. So, I like to say it this way, and really Dave was the one that first said it. I'm going to read a short excerpt that I typed from back in those days it was the cassette tape of Dave when he first taught the calling in the lost service. But here's my notes that I wrote about that verse. See, he said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Well, the very next thing that happens, I believe they did pray, because Jesus sends forth the 12. Shortly after that, he sends forth the 70. And Dave said it like this, that if you will pray the same prayer, the Lord will send laborers into the harvest, no matter what state they live in, no matter what country they live in. He will send forth laborers into the harvest after your lost loved ones also. Okay? And the way Dave would say it, he hand-selected. You ever notice he hand-selected the 12? He hand-selected the 70? So Dave would say, listen, he will choose the laborers that your lost loved one can relate to. Is your lost son a doctor? He will send born-again, spirit-filled doctors across his path. Is he a mechanic? He'll send born-again, spirit-filled mechanics. The point being, the same way that he hand-picked those then, he will hand-pick the ones now. Not to mention angels working on our behalf. Angels involved in prayer. Okay? So Dave would say doctors to doctors, mechanics to mechanics. So because Dave taught it that way, myself, I've learned to pray this way. Lord, I'm asking you. I don't want to mention a name, but I've got a relative, a younger relative. Of course, all my relatives are nearly or younger now. But anyway. Lives in another state. I never see this person. I never talk to him now. And if they ever were saved, he's backslid. Let me just say it that way. Okay? Well, what am I going to do? So I say, Lord, and I'll call out his name. Hand select laborers to go after, and I'll say his name. Pick the ones that he'll listen to. The same way, Lord, that you handpicked the 12 and you handpicked the 70. handpick the ones that, and I'll say the name, will relate to. Okay, we'll come back to some more things on this page. But concerning this verse, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let me read to you this excerpt based on that and a few other verses from the very first meeting of the Calling in the Lost from Pastor Dave Roberson. Hallelujah. He said, what I want to teach you is just a simple confession. Just the fact that you are making the confession is all you need to know to make it work. Because God is looking for people who will lend to him their authority for him to use to do what you're saying when you are saying what he wants. Do you remember what he said about the Lord of the harvest? The laborers are few and the harvest is plenteous. Pray the Lord of the harvest. If God wanted them saved more than we do, why didn't he just do something himself? Why bother with it? Well, the reason is that the authority was transferred from Jesus Christ to us, his body, on earth. Where we don't move, God doesn't move. Authority is, we've taught a lot on authority here. That's why he said, how shall they hear lest a preacher is sent? And how beautiful are the feet of them that carry this glad tidings of good news. What we don't bring, they don't hear. Amen? So we instigate the truth and send it forward by every means. Now this is dated a little bit. And no matter how we do it, by telephone, by television, sending a wire, a book, leaflets. Notice he doesn't say internet, MP3, iPod, Twitter, Facebook. But however that they hear the word, when they hear it, faith comes. But until somebody does that, in other words, shares the gospel somehow, until somebody does that, they will not hear. So if you pray the Lord of the harvest, that is the same as him saying, you gave me the authority to move, and I will move. I believe that. I believe that. When you pray for a loved one, you send angels after them, and you send God after them. If necessary, when you get strong enough about it, Jesus will walk in and talk to them about going to hell. Now, have you read in the last 5 years at least about how many Muslims in other countries Jesus is just appearing to them? And they get saved, you know. I know that's because of the prayers of the church. It's calling the Muslims in, calling them saved, you know, making intercession for them. Yeah, Dave prophesied that years ago. I'm seeing Norval Hayes' daughter. Remember the time she was on drugs, you know? And Norval did everything he knew to do. I mean, he was like every parent. You weren't raised like this. I didn't raise you like this. Yada, 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 yada. And the Lord finally said, Norval, I want you to shut up. I want you to call her delivered. And whenever you talk to her yourself, I always want you to tell her two things. You tell her that Jesus loves her. Tell her that you love her. And then I want you to shut up. I still like how Norval is. Well, you know what happened. Norval, he just kept thanking the Lord. And he followed those instructions. He quit browbeating the girl. And just called her saved. Called her delivered. Well, one day an angel shows up. She's just laying in the bed. She wakes up. Looks to her left. And there's an 8-foot angel sitting there Indian style on the floor. He said she said she thought it was a dream, so she put the covers over her head, pinched herself. Ow, it's not a dream. Pulled the cover back down, he's still sitting there. You might say, what did he say? He said he didn't say nothing. When you're 8 foot tall and you just come from heaven, all you gotta do is show up. Finally, after a little while, that angel stood up, and when he stood up, he was so tall, his head and the top of his shoulders and head was taller than the ceiling. He just walked out into the hallway. She ran to the door and walked, looked, and he walked to the end of the hallway, turned left, and walked through the wall, and he was gone. So she goes running downstairs, and I can't do it. My voice keeps aging like it is on the cassette tape. Daddy! Banging on Norrell's door. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. You scared me, Daddy. You scared me. What? What scared you? It's an angel. He come from heaven, and he scared me. End result, the way Norval says it, that angel scared every dope devil out of my daughter. Said she never touched dope again as long as she lived. That's the power of intercession. That's the power of prayer. And all of Norval's help wasn't helping. God just wanted him to just tell her, I love her and that you love her, and then shut up. But you call her saved, call her delivered, you know, prayer. Same kind of thing we're doing here. Okay, that's just one good example. I love that one. So Dave was prophesying this years ago. He said, if you get strong enough in this intercession, Jesus himself will walk in. Jesus himself. He did with Saul. Okay. But you are the one that caused it. He came because of your authority. Okay, some of this is really dated. Okay. So when we do stand and begin to worship God and call the lost in, our intention is to slide into that worship to where we become one with it and it becomes one with us. Where God is actually, through his power and anointing, dictating those things through us. Now this is what he said when he talked about, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and you doubt not where? Where? In your heart. Then you will have what you say with your mouth, if you doubt not in your heart. But you have what you say with your mouth. What saying it with your mouth does is generally, it finally pulls your heart in. See, that's the power of confession. You're not moving God, you're moving you. See? You say something long enough, even you'll believe it. Once your heart is pulled in, the process reverses, and you finally get what you're saying with your mouth. This is why it may take you 30 minutes of giving yourself to him and his anointing and him to you. But once you are in there, he is taking your authority and doing incredible things with it. Jesus will become to you what you call him. That is true. Now, of course, you know Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk on wine, wherein is excess, but on the other hand, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. He said to not be drunk on wine. See, the world has to get drunk on wine to cope. You don't have to. There is a place in the Spirit where when you keep confessing his word over something, what you are doing is ministering to yourself, your own heart. You're not actually moving God. You are moving yourself into a place to line up with God. That's why he says you can be drunk on the new wine by ministering to yourself over and over in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, things that come from your spirit, like what I'm about to give you. You keep ministering that over and over until eventually it will move your heart, because it is your heart that you're ministering to. And as soon as it is able to move your heart, then your heart lines up with God's heart. And that's when incredible authority comes. Then 1,000 angels can go through this city at one time and usher sinners in. So now he's gone from individual family members that you're calling saved. Now he's talking a citywide revival, which is why we also do it the way we do it. So he says, then 1,000 angels can go through this city at one time and usher sinners in. The glory will fall to meet them. That's what revival is really about. Praying in tongues transforms you enough so that I don't believe any of you are going to give in to the devil's beatings. Well, a lot of them did. Look around. A lot of them did. The devil will take your persecution to a new level because you're doing this. But you'll know, I said, you'll know if you don't, I didn't realize this was in, You'll know if you don't pass the test because you won't be here. Well, going on. You'll know if he can't use you for revival because your circumstances will beat you out of it and you'll stop. That's the end of the exhortation. Now, go ahead and go over to James chapter 5 just for a moment. Now, really, James in this section is talking about healing. And calling, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church and so forth and confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. But he's also talking about prayer, the prayer of faith specifically, in every matter. It doesn't matter whether it's finances, healing, in this case, rain, whatever it is. So, for context's sake, we'll pick it up in verse 14. Is any sick among you? James 5:14. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. How many are glad that's in there? 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Well, couldn't we pray for lost ones that they could be saved? Okay. Now notice, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now where the devil defeats a lot of people, defeated me for years, well, if I was only righteous, then my prayers could be answered. Because I had it in my mind, I'm such a mess, I could not possibly really be righteous. So how could God answer my prayer? But then finally, over years of teaching, the Born Again Trail, Nathan 101, I finally got it. I was born righteous. Righteous. Now, we do grow in grace and we grow in knowledge, but you'll never find in the Bible where you grow in righteousness. You were created righteous. Ephesians 4 says you were created in righteousness and true holiness. That doesn't mean you can't sin and miss it. But thank God we can go to the blood, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that means the moment you walk away from that prayer, you're as righteous as the day you first got born again. So you are righteous. Let's get that settled. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Say, I am a righteous person. I am righteous. So what I need to do is do effectual, fervent prayers. What I need to do is to pray effectual and fervent prayers. And when I do, they will avail much. That reminds me of a book, Prayers That Avail Much. Now, how can you make sure that your prayers are effectual? When you pray the Word of God, you cannot miss it. There's two things that I know. Two times I know for sure when I'm praying perfectly. One is when I'm praying in other tongues. I completely trust the Holy Spirit to make intercession for me according to the will of God. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. The other way that I know for sure that I'm praying effectual is when I pray the Word of God. Now, I'm going to recommend this book to you. This is a special 25-year edition that I have that Angie bought me for a gift. It has three volumes of Prayers That Avail Much put into one. Now, at my age now, I need them to make it three times this big because the print is really small. But what they've done, they've taken the Word of God, primarily the Amplified Bible, not always, but mostly the Amplified Bible, and they have put together prayers that are in line with God's Word, and you can find prayers for anything. Now, I highly recommend this book to you. This is one of my major tools. I use this thing all the time. I keep it right by my chair, and sometimes I'll just spend, you get caught up in these prayers and time will just go by. You'll say, like Dave used to tell us about his tea, I poured a hot cup of tea. We know it was coffee. But I poured a hot cup of tea, remember he'd walk in and the tea bags would drag along behind him. He says, I just poured a hot cup, but he was talking about worship. And then I'd reach for that cup and it was stone cold. How did that happen? Well, he got caught up in the worship. You can get caught up in the word and in prayer, and that same thing can happen. I've had it happen many times. So I can't give you my copy. I don't. Come on now. Hey, we got one in the back. Somebody in the back's got one back there. But you can get this from Amazon. You can get it at Mardell's. You can get it, and you don't have to buy the 3-volume leather bound one. You can just get the paperback. I think at Amazon that paperback one's less than $10. It's something you need. You know, prayers that avail much. Now, for tonight, and I can't post this at the website, so you'll just have to listen to it again, listen to me read it, because everything's copyrighted, so I can't copy and paste and put it. I'll have to make my own version of it if we do so, and I might, but not this week. But you understand, I'm not going to violate their copyright law, you know. But there's one in here called Salvation of the Lost. Let me give you these scripture references at the end of it. Every one of these prayers, they have the scriptures at the end. So if you want to go back and study where this prayer came from, you can. There's 6 scriptures here. The first one is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. One of them is the verse we looked at tonight, Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. That's the Lord of the harvest. Then Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 21. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Did I go too fast? Do I need to do them again? You okay? Must be okay. Now, I'm just going to read this to you. Now, this one is salvation for the lost in general around the world. But you can see how you could easily tailor this to put your family member's name in here. You could easily tailor this for an individual person or multiple family members, loved ones, whoever. Okay? So, I'm just going to read it to you. It said, Father, it is written in your word, first of all, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be offered on behalf of all men. Therefore, Father, we bring the lost of the world this day, every man, woman, and child from here to the farthest corner of the earth before you. As we intercede, we use our faith, believing that thousands this day have the opportunity to make Jesus their Lord. Father, we know that Satan would prevent these from hearing the truth if possible. We are human, but we don't wage war with human plans and methods. We use God's mighty weapons to knock down the devil's strongholds. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas and teach them to obey Christ. We ask the Lord of the harvest to thrust the perfect laborers across these lives this day to share the good news of the gospel in a special way so that they will listen and understand it. We believe that they will not be able to resist the wooing of the Holy Spirit. For you, Father, bring them to repentance by your goodness and love. We confess that they shall see, who have never been told of Jesus. They shall understand who have never heard of Jesus. And they shall come out of the snare of the devil who has held them captive. They shall open their eyes and turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to you, God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a good prayer. Now, you could add lots to this. For example, go over to 2 Corinthians 4. You can make your own prayer. I'm just recommending this one. They've done a lot of legwork already for you. But you could make your own one of these. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of you people, you righteous people, avail much. It makes a difference. When Dave started doing this, he had several lost relatives, and within a few months, maybe a year, all of them came to the Lord. And he told story after story how it happened. It was so interesting to me. But anyway, 2 Corinthians 4, look at verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Well, that's who we're talking about, isn't it? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, who did the blinding? The God of this world did it. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, I didn't look up all these scriptures. You can look them up yourself. But Jesus has told us in multiple places that he has given us authority over all the power of the devil. You remember that? All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. And he says, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And anyway, and he says, you've got to first bind the strong man. So Jesus told us that we have authority over all the power of the devil. So now we have authority to break off those blinders in Jesus' name. Whatever it is that's keeping them from seeing the truth, one of the first things that I pray, Lord, I pray you send laborers. I'm making up a name. Cousin Fred. I don't have a cousin Fred, but I'm making up a lost cousin Fred because I don't want to use the real name. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the God of this world over my cousin Fred. I remove those blinders in Jesus' name. Blinders, you come down. Father, I declare that cousin Fred is open to hear and see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for sending laborers into the harvest after my cousin Fred. He won't be able to go to the quick trip without somebody witnessing to him. He won't be able to go buy a can of soup at the grocery store. Father, because you're going to send not only people, but angels on his behalf to create atmospheres, hold back demonic forces so that my cousin Fred will not be blinded anymore, but he will see the truth and he'll receive Jesus and repent and he'll be saved in Jesus' name. And I call my cousin Fred saved. Amen? You know? And that's just on one verse. You could make a prayer or something like that. Now, you got to get it straight. That's one more. And then 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now he's talking about the end of time when the Lord returns, when this thing is over. He is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many does he want to perish? Not any, see? And how many does he want to come to repentance? So we have to understand, you cannot miss it when it comes to this prayer. Anybody that's lost, you have an ironclad word of God. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If I'm understanding what Peter's writing here, the real reason the Lord hasn't already returned, he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That's another verse that I didn't have on here, but he's waiting for that fruit. There's still people to be saved. Lord, there's almost 8 billion people on the planet right now, and really just a small fraction of those are really born again. Small, but truly the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So I want to encourage you tonight to return to the thrilling days of yesteryear. I'm waiting for instructions. I don't think we're going to actually do this tonight, but when this week, get out some names again. Go through your inventory of your own family. Do you have cousins, uncles, grandpa, grandpa, anybody. Do you have people in your family that are not saved, or maybe they're backslidden real bad? Whatever it is, let's get them back on. Let's move them from the back burner back to the front burner. Okay? And you can use the prayers that avail much. You can just pray. Find you some scriptures, but start praying and declaring God's word. And believe that He hears us. See? Believe that He hears us. And that's why we start calling them saved after that, because we know He heard us. So I call my cousin Fred saved. Oh, I thank you, Lord. See, now, I don't pray that same prayer every day, but I'll say, Lord, I thank you. Like the next day, I say, Lord, I thank you that you heard me when you prayed. I'm so thankful that today my cousin Fred can't go anywhere without people witnessing to him. Lord, I thank you. Those blinders are removed. They're going to stay removed. And I call my cousin Fred saved in Jesus' name. He's born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and casting out devils in Jesus' name. Just get as extreme with it as you want, you know, because God wants them to have it all. Amen. But let's move this thing from the back burner back to the front burner. Let's get this back into our mind again. Write it down. Put it on something. Put the date. And then later on, when they get saved and you find out how God did it, you can share that with everybody, and it's an encouragement and a testimony about how the Lord does it, because it's amazing. With me, y'all know my story. Man, I was so fed up with church, I was never going to darken a church door again. And God looked at my heart, and He knew that was true. So did God give up on me? No. He finds this little Michael Muccio guy with driving the ugly red Opel. Sent him, if you'll allow me, across enemy lines, because I wasn't going back to church to hear about Jesus. So he sends this guy across enemy lines over into the business world to come after me. Now, if that's not love, I don't know what love is. I know I had praying parents and praying grandparents, and I don't know who all was praying for me, but I know people. I'm going to find out in heaven. You remember how Dave would do this? I know there's files in heaven, so I'm going to go to the heavenly file cabinet. I'm going to pull out that file, and I'm going to find out who it was that was praying for me. Ha! And I'm going to hide behind that pillar. And when they walk by, I'm going to jump out from beside that pillar, and my lips will resemble a bathroom plunger. Mwah! Remember? I'm going to put a big kiss right on their cheek. Mwah! Thank you for praying for me. Amen? Amen? I don't know who was praying for me, but somebody had to be praying for me that God would send this evangelist across enemy lines over into the business world to come get this old backslider. And he got me. Can you tell? I had to listen for quite a while. It took about 6 months or a year of seed sowing before finally the harvest came. And I'll never forget it. 4th of July, 1980. 4th of July, about 2 in the morning. And I bowed the knee in my living room. And I said, Lord, I knew you as a little boy, but I sure walked away from you. I don't know if you'll take me back, but if you will, you're never going to have to come looking for me again. Well, he took me back. And you see where I am. He's not having to come look for me anymore. Amen. That same thing can happen to Cousin Fred, your friend, your relatives, whoever it is. And I thank God that Jesus Himself is appearing to Muslims and getting them saved. I thank God. I don't care how He does it. Let's call this. I like that prayer in there for the whole world. Let's call the world saved. And we got a revival to have. I'm telling you, there's going to be a great, great revival. Large harvest. The Lord is waiting for the fruit, the precious fruit of the earth.